Thank you for tuning in to SCN at 5. I'm head anchor Jerry Garcia. Tonight's leading story, the Dilly Dunkers silver coin hunt is over. All five of the promotional silver coins have been found, and the finders, five kids from throughout the city, have entered the ice cream satisfactory. A feat only achieved by necessary government officials up to this day. Reporter Joe Pistachio was able to set up interviews with some of the families of these kids. One of them includes celebrity Daphne Devine. Let's cut over to Joe with those. Joe?
Yeah, that's right, Jerry. I'm standing right outside the Dilly Dunkers factory with several of the parents of the kids who just went inside. One of those parents is Mr. Brogan Dose, father of Hogan Dose, and co-owner of Dose Bros Used Cars. Mr. Dose, it's being said that your son ate 132 ice cream bars before finding the silver coin.
Well, what can I say? The boy loves a duck fudger.
Was it true that the boy found the frozen treat at Dose Bros?
Well, that's correct. We've got a little ice cream freezer where we sell treats from, and I can't tell you how many times I've had to shoo the boy away, all so that he doesn't clear me out of treats. But, in celebration of him finding it, the silver coin, I mean, we're actually running a promotion. You buy a car, you get a free duck fudger. So stop on by Dose Bros Used Cars today.
Thank you, Mr. Dose. Now, to my left, we have celebrity Daphne Devine, mother of Donna Devine, who also is a lucky recipient of one of those silver coins. Now, Daphne, is it true that you're actually not happy that your daughter has secured such an opportunity?
No, not at all, Joe.
Oh, and why is that?
Isn't it obvious? Ever since she posted that she found that stupid coin, her Sweetster following has skyrocketed. At this rate, she's going to have more followers than me.
I'm honestly not sure how to respond to that. Back to you, Jerry.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of our Kids on Bikes one-shot, Dilly Dunkers Ice Cream Satisfactory. Vaguely inspired by Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Whatever the case, I'm back with our three players today. We got Cameron, who's playing Julian. We've got Ben, who's playing Kieran. And we've got Bart, who's playing Philip Dipple. I just like saying his last
name. That's a cool name.
It gives me a chuckle every time, so I have to say it. Awesome. So, as we left off last time, you guys were getting on the boat inside of the what Dilly Dunker referred to as the Creamery Kingdom, which was an entire massive, sprawling, sort of outside-looking space. Everything was made of some sort of ice cream or frozen treat. And, Philip, you had fallen into the soda stream.
Oh, dang it. Why didn't I
think
of that?
That's a cool name.
Oh,
that's
a cool name. Man, that was a miss out right there.
Retcon.
Yeah, retcon. It was called the Soda Stream. Root beer today, at least. And you
it
were,
changes?
I imagine so.
Yeah. Whoa.
And successfully, but somewhat narrowly saved before you went off into the tunnel in the water.
You know, you probably are going to get a cease and desist from the Soda Stream people, though. That's much true. Much more aggressive than the Wonka people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yep. They're like, hey, don't even mess around. Don't make our... We already had to deal with off-brand versions
of
ourselves.
Those are a fad that's kind of past, though. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like bread makers.
Yeah.
The Soda Stream is the new bread maker.
Yeah. But with soda. That's true. But whatever the case, you guys are all climbing onto the little paddle boat that Dilly Dunkers has kind of led you to. You all climb into your respective seats. There are paddles for you to paddle. I don't know if any of you are interested in paddling at all. I can tell you one thing right now, and that is that Donna is absolutely not paddling.
Yeah,
she just kind of crosses her arms and sits back, and she goes, this place is weird. I don't know how I'm going to change I'm going to change so much when I take over.
I'm just going to ignore her.
Like, okay. What?
Well, first of all, it's weird to, like, walk in the, like, ice cream snow or whatever that was.
There was a sidewalk.
What?
There was a sidewalk. You could just walk on that.
Are you saying I ruined my shoes for nothing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll put up signs, that's for sure. Whatever the case, the boat starts to move out of this little sort of dock that has been set up. That's entirely made out of like the waffle cone material, of course. But it was thick enough that you guys weren't cracking it as you went. Although Hogan definitely left maybe a footprint, like imprint. Whatever the case, you guys are on the boat and you guys make your way towards the tunnel. And as you guys make your way towards the tunnel, Dilly turns to you guys and he says, just so you guys know, this tunnel is actually where the Scoop Troop lives. It's kind of a remnant piece of their work from their world. And sometimes some weird stuff happens. You see some things that you probably don't want to see. And it might shake you up a little bit. But it's all right. You'll be fine. And just as he finishes saying that, sure enough, you all start to kind of see these weird sort of visionary hallucinations in front of you. Julian, you see clowns. You see a whole bunch of clowns that are all just kind of like jumping and rolling in front of you. You suddenly, you stop feeling the pedals and the seat beneath you, and all of a sudden you find yourself like in a circus setting, and there's just clowns that are swinging. They're doing all the circusy things. One of them has like a lion and he's, you know, swinging a whip at it. One of them's doing the high flying acrobatics and so on and so forth. And one of them starts to approach you.
Julian covers his eyes.
Okay, all right.
And starts whispering to himself, there's no place like Cracker Barrel. There's no place like Cracker Barrel. There's no place like Cracker Barrel.
All right, so you're sitting there, you're just trying to like block it out and imagine your happy place, which is Cracker Barrel.
He doesn't think that's real because he said, the guy said weird stuff's going to happen in here. So yeah, he doesn't think there's a real clown on this thing.
All right.
And if there is, if he covers his eyes, clowns can't see you. That's the rule of clowns.
Yep, that's right. If you can't see them, Julian
knows the rules. He's read the books.
They can't see you.
That's right.
Just like if you don't move, they can't see you.
That's right, yeah.
And, I'm going to have you roll a grit.
10.
10. Awesome. So, yeah, that's a success. All right, you are able to surpass your fears, yeah, essentially.
He closed his eyes and didn't move.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome. Let's jump over to Kieran. Kieran, you are going through, you're having a happy little picnic with your younger sister Avery, sitting in the grass, and as you go to stand up, your head bumps something that's above you, and all of a sudden a beehive falls from the tree above you and shatters onto the ground, and a whole horde of bees start to swarm out of it towards you and Avery.
This is in my mind, because for a brief second I was on the paddle boat. Then all of a sudden I'm in this.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of discombobulating for sure. What are you doing?
I'm gonna just, while the bees originally just start to swarm.
Okay.
In a just gonna empty the picnic basket and just close it over top of it.
Okay. I'm gonna call that let's say fight, maybe.
Fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, you guys, if you guys ever want to like make a case for it being a different stat,
feel free. If it's in your mind, wouldn't it be your own brain power trying to?
Sure. Yeah, I'd accept that. Yeah, if you want to do brain, that's fine with me. That makes sense.
Okay. The reason is because of the D20.
Yes, fair enough.
That would be a 9.
A 9. Okay. You managed to slam this down on top of the bees. It covers up most of them, but a few of the bees are able to escape, and they start to sting you and Avery, and then immediately you sort of wake up from this nightmare and you find yourself back on the paddle boat.
What the heck was that?
Jumping over to Philip. Philip, as you are sitting there in the little paddle boat, all of a sudden you find yourself in a pumpkin patch. And the scene starts to replay of the pumpkin patch incident.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Somehow involved goats. Oh. What is the scene that's playing out?
I'm waiting in line and the goat is pushing on my leg. And I push back and I think the goat is playing, but it rears up.
Oh, no.
And goat butts me in the knee.
And as that goat goes to goat butt you in the knee, you've experienced this. This was a real thing that happened, and you know what's about to happen in this sort of replay of this scenario. What do you do as you see this goat start to rear up?
Well, I don't see it coming. That's why it's so horrifying. And
he
looks like the devil.
But okay, so this time though, because you've experienced it before, you do see it coming. You know what he's about to do. Are you going to do anything to try to avoid this in some way?
I'm afraid I might be paralyzed with fear.
Oh, all right.
I can't change the past.
Well, I'll have you
roll a grit as well. 11, all right.
11 out of 12.
Just as this goat goes to kick you, you tense up in fear, and it hits you, and it doesn't hurt this time. You don't feel your legs buckle beneath you like they did back in the day. You don't feel yourself get shot across the pumpkin patch from the kick of this goat like you did back in the day. Instead, it hits you with its hind legs, hops off, kind of glares at you, and then it trots away. And as it does, the vision fades, and you find yourself back on that paddle boat. You guys look over at Donna, and she has tears running down her face, and you hear her shouting, "No, stop laughing at me. It's not funny." And then all of a sudden, she shakes herself awake, and she looks pretty distraught. To come up with what the heck was happening to Hogan.
I would never laugh at you, Donna.
roll a charm. Hey. And don't forget, you guys have those adversity. Whoa.
Oh, he didn't need any adversity.
All right, yeah. A 14. She goes, "Thanks. That means a lot." And she looks a little bit consoled by your words. Definitely added some relationship points there. Hogan, he's got his eyes closed, and he looks like he's reaching out, just like grasping at nothing. And he goes, "Where is it? It's not here. This cabinet's open, empty too. There's no food in this whole house. What's going on?" And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he goes. And then he reaches down and he's got a handful of ice cream treats from the Creamery Kingdom. And he pops a couple of swiggity fruities in his mouth. And he goes, "Oh, it's all good. There's food here." As you guys kind of come to the end of this stream of water, which kind of goes off into the distance, it kind of narrows into a point where you can't be on the boat anymore. The boat pulls up to a new dock. This one not made of ice cream cone. This one made of cement and wood. And you guys climb off and you head into the next room. As you guys walk inside, you guys hear a series of loud sort of slamming and scraping noises, and you've come in to find the source of these noises. It is a massive room open. There's sort of just a drop off. You guys are like standing almost on the edge of a massive drop off just into darkness. In the middle of the room, you see this giant circular sort of disc shaped stone that's constantly spinning in a circle. And on the right and left side, you have these giant spades, which I talked about before, kind of like at Cold Stone Creamery, right? And on this spinning stone, you see there's cream that gets dumped onto it. And then this giant spades on either side kind of scoop it up and then they mash it. There's another sort of section that kind of dumps a bunch of toppings onto it. And they kind of like chop those up and smash that into the ice cream. These are massive. I'm talking like bigger than a person sized. And then eventually the one on the right side will kind of lay itself down against the stone, scoop all of it up, and then lifts it and dumps it into a separate like container or something like that, that takes all the now processed and mixed up ice cream off to a different place.
This sounds like a very dangerous place for a couple of clumsy kids.
It is a dangerous place for a couple of clumsy kids. Dilly Dunker says, "All right, so here we've got what I call the cold stone. It is exactly what it seems like. It's a giant cold stone. It gets kept cold from underneath. It mixes up the ice cream treats and it dumps them off to go get put into packaging and sent out to all the different stores and restaurants and all of that good stuff. As you can see here, this is the best way to get a lot done in a very short amount of time. That's why we developed it. But it's also the only way to get across the room, so I'll see you guys on the other side."
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, what's the confusion?
You're gonna disappear and make us move across the room ourselves? You're not gonna...
Well, if this is going to be your factory someday, then you're going to have to figure out how to get around.
Well, when it's my factory, we're getting rid of hallucinogen tunnel. Yeah. That's step one.
All right.
Yeah, that's something I can agree with you on.
Is there a moment when the cold stone is like free of ice cream, when it shoves it away and we can make a break for it through there?
That's a great question. So you watch for a little bit, and you watch as it goes through sort of four different stages of processing the ice cream, right? So first of all, there is the... Once it's sort of scraped up the ice cream that it's currently working with and tosses it off to the side, right? First thing that happens, this big bucket, the two spades lift off of the cold stone, and a big bucket comes and dumps a bunch of cream onto the cold stone, which quickly starts to freeze. It becomes kind of almost an icy mixture. Then the second phase starts, where they lower down and they start to kind of mix it together. The third stage happens when the bucket of fruit and other toppings kind of dumps over onto there, and the things continue to mix it all together. And then the fourth stage is the one on the far right side collects up all that's on the stone and dumps it into the next thing. So those are kind of like the four stages or processes.
All right, so the plan is I'll go first, and then I have my lucky rabbit's foot with me. I'll throw it back to each of you, and that will help you get through there. You're just basically guaranteed.
I really don't like that logic in that, but...
Go for it.
Well, I'm going first. Get the rabbit's foot out. Give it a little rub.
Yes, absolutely.
Never hurts to rub the rabbit's foot. Feel a little luckier, maybe. Yep.
Or at least you feel a little luckier.
Yep. And then at the cycle where it's the most empty, I'm booking through there.
All right. So probably right after it scrapes everything up, and then it lifts it up, and just as it's lifting up, you go jumping onto there. I'm going to have you do a flight to see how quickly you can start making your way across the cold stone.
Three of six.
A three from a D6. As you kind of hop onto it, you feel, oh, it's a little bit slick, and you fall. You're not like downed or anything like that. You pick yourself back up, but it's taking a little bit of time to do so. You watch as the giant tub of cream starts to dump onto the cold stone. If anybody else is going to do anything at any point, like jump on or anything like that, just let me know. But otherwise, that's what's happening.
It would have been so much worse without the rabbit's foot.
Yeah,
that's right. True. That's so true.
Awesome. So what are you doing as this giant bucket of cream is kind of starting to pour down on you, towards you?
I am going to put my wide-brimmed hat on. Not, you know, clouding my vision, and attempt to traverse the rest of the cold stone.
All right. You're just going to run ahead of the cream?
If I'm capable.
If you're capable. That's a fair point. All right. So I'm going to have you do another flight.
Another three of six.
All right. So you
add one to your flight.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So it'd be a four.
Yeah, four both
that's
times. True. Sorry.
All right. No, that's fine. So you start to run. And again, it's very slick on here. And you get a couple of feet before you slip once again, this time forward. So you're kind of sliding down. And the huge wave of cream comes through and scoops you up with it, and starts making its way towards one of the big, you know, slicer spades. This is just kind of a constant, like, what's next? What are you doing next?
Wait, so he got swept up by the cream and is heading towards one of the
big chopper, thingies, doohickeys.
I'm going to prepare to, like, guide it away from me like the nose of a shark.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of, like, trying to manipulate things? Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Let's do maybe brawn or grit. I would allow probably either one of those two.
All right. Grit, 10 out of 12.
10 out of 12. Okay. You start to manage to navigate, and you just narrowly dodge that the giant spade that's coming down on the right side. The stone is constantly in motion. Obviously, it's kind of swirling around. And you find yourself that's starting to move towards the exit, if you were able to jump on there, or maybe swim your way to the edge, I guess, and climb up. But otherwise, it's just going to take you all the way back around again. So how are you going to, are you going to try to like grab for the exit before it takes you away?
Well, some feat of strength, I will attempt to get to the exit.
All right, sounds good. Do you want to, I guess you could argue that you're fighting against the water, or would you like to brawn to try to grab on?
Yeah, I'll brawn.
You're brawn, all right.
Three of eight.
Three out of a D8.
You do have the adversity tokens.
Those are true. That's true.
I'm saving those for when you have the rabbit's foot.
Oh, okay.
You reach up to try to grab onto where the exit is going to be, and you are not able to get a good grasp. The wet cream all over your hands does not make purchase, and you continue to head back around. You're heading towards the left scraper now.
Do I see him miss the grab and keep... I'm going to make my way to the edge of the cold stone and hold on to the edge of it and get ready to reach in and try to grab him.
As he comes back around to your guys' side? Okay, perfect. So for now, you're coming towards the other spade. How are you dodging out of the way of getting chopped up?
I'll do brawn again. That seemed to work well.
Okay.
One of eight.
We're about to watch somebody die.
This is going to be the worst ice cream ever.
This is a very contaminated batch.
Okay, so we all know from...
it's going to be sweaty and full of chunks of napkin ring.
We all know from...
And a rabbit's foot, if you're lucky.
We all know from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that sometimes things happen to the kids along the way. And at this point, I cannot come up with an excuse at this point. I think Bart... I'm sorry to say, but I think Philip is getting got by the left spade as he comes around.
Use the tokens.
Well, I prefer to think of like that I'm scooped up and sent away with that batch of ice.
That's probably for the best. Not a mutilated
cold stone death.
Yes.
But all those fails he made.
Oh, yeah. You would have gotten adversity tokens like for like five. Four.
Yeah, he would have gotten a lot of tokens.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, I think, what? It was like four?
It was four fails.
Yeah, there you
there
go.
There was one success, but he had four fails.
It's up to you. Do you want to add those on to your one roll?
Well, worth save one each. Four, so would two save me?
Well, it'd be a three then.
It says if it's a task, a three is like it's a task that any character could handle doing.
I don't, my thing is, I don't think a child could cope with that situation at the moment. It's not reasonable he can do that.
I guess I'm scooped away.
He just slides into the ice cream.
So you kind of get
find me
folded
at the shipping dock.
That's right. You get kind of folded into the ice cream rather than getting chopped up, because I agree that is kind of a dark, disturbing
thing. So he's still he's just dead.
Well, not necessarily. So you get folded into the ice cream, because that's what it does. It's just rolling up the ice cream over and over again. As you get kind of mixed in, the toppings come down, those get mixed in as well, and you get packed in and then lifted up off the ground and dumped into to get shipped off.
Can I throw the rabbit's foot?
One last them? Moment as you're coming around.
You'll need this.
roll. I'll give you one more brawn.
I'm using my four tokens.
Yeah, all four tokens.
Man.
Seven out of eight. All right.
Since you're coming around towards the exit again, or where you guys came in, I'd say you toss this rabbit's foot up into the air. I don't know if any of you specifically are trying to catch it. Otherwise,
well, I throw it at Donna.
Oh, you throw it at Donna. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Man, I can't wait for Donna to get folded up into ice cream.
So it flies towards Donna. It hits her in the shoulder, and it falls to the ground. And she kind of looks at it, and she goes, "Ew, what is that?"
Well, that's a rabbit's foot.
Oh my gosh! You guys chopped up a foot right off the rabbit?
The guy who's currently being and there he goes.
There he goes. All right, Bart, thanks for playing.
No, that's okay. It was fun.
All right. I feel bad. Somebody online was like, oh, hey, yeah, I think it works better as a system if like you have everybody like working together and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going to stop them from working together. But at the end of the day, like in Willy Wonka fashion, if somebody really screws
up. Out of nowhere, Haagen-Dazs forms a new mind and conscience as Bart takes over his body.
Haagen didn't have much going on anyway.
Yeah, if you want to play as Hogan, that's fine.
Does he have a sheet?
I'll make one real quick. Okay. Yeah.
I see no complaints here.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
He wasn't really doing much anyway.
That's fair. All right. Perfect. I'll jump over to the rest of you guys.
I do want to say.
Yes.
Julian was still actually on the boat.
Oh. Okay.
Covering his eyes.
He doesn't know everything.
I didn't know that was happening. And then after like a little while, he doesn't hear anything. So he uncovers his eyes and he starts to see that everyone's off the boat.
Right.
Except for the scoop troop dude.
Okay.
At the front, right?
Yeah.
So he walks up to him
and he starts just talking to him. And after talking to him, mostly about the Cracker Barrel and the great deals he can get.
You're talking to him.
Yeah, I'm talking to him.
Like, it's not a conversation. It's not with, he's just it's like,
I'm saying, you can go to Cracker Barrel and get a nice home-cooked classic starting at $8.99. They serve breakfast all day. I give him a couple vouchers. I talked to him for a good while. Mm-hmm. And then I finally walk into the room to see...
the terror.
A bunch of people very upset, and Julian's like, I've never seen anyone this upset over ice cream before. That looks good.
I'm gonna just emotionlessly walk up to Julian and just smack him, be like, but Phillip's dead. He just got folded up into that batch, and you're saying that looks good?
Ow. Ow, that hurt. Phillip's not dead. Where is he?
He was in that ice cream. He's dead.
Oh, there's probably a second room, probably. Right, Dilly?
Dilly's gone.
Yeah, Dilly, you actually can see Dilly, like, on the other side of the room.
Oh.
At the door.
He's probably over there with Dilly.
Yeah, bud, he's not over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Julian's has a giant smile on his face. So, why'd he jump in the ice cream then?
It's what Mr. Donker said was the only way across the room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why didn't he turn it off?
He can't, I guess. I don't know. He was really vague about it and
everything. Is there an off switch?
You can check for one.
Sure, I'll check for one.
All right. Roll me a brains.
Uh-oh. It's definitely not passing, but, you know, I rolled a three.
Three. You don't see any kind of off switch.
Well, there's no off switch. It's probably on that side. He's going to yell, Mr. Dilly! Flip the off switch!
And Dilly says, well, I'd love to, but it's on your side.
Where?
You gotta find it yourself.
Well, I'm gonna start looking around.
Guys, there's an off switch over here.
Roll me a brains.
Brains. That would be a 12.
12, okay.
12 out of 20.
Yeah, sure enough, there is, it's kind of like a heavy-duty wire that hangs down over off to the side, and it's got just a big green button and a red button on it.
How high up is it?
Oh, it's reachable.
Oh, it's reachable. Okay, yeah. I'm just going to press the red button, I think.
All right. As you press the red button, the spinning cylindrical shaped stone slows to a stop with the big scrapey spade things just kind of to nothing. There's still, it's kind of like on the third phase where it was mixing the ice cream mm-hmm. with the toppings and so on and so forth.
I'm going to turn it back on then.
Oh, okay. And you hit the green button and it starts to process some more. And then finally it scoops up this load and it dumps
it into the thing. When it does that, immediately off again.
And then it stops.
Wow. It looks like Phil died for nothing. We could have. Wow.
Oh, what's this on the ground here? As I pick up a rabbit's foot.
That's right. A rabbit's foot.
It's a lucky rabbit's foot.
That's right. Oh,
my lucky day.
It's a good thing you didn't see the previous person trying to use it.
And I look up to see the path cleared and the machine turned off. And he goes, oh, look at that.
Are you going first?
Of course.
All right, so you start to make your way across and all
I've got a lucky rabbit's foot.
My just inner conflict. Oh, I should just press the on button. I should just press it.
Oh, the temptation.
But I'm going to let go of the remote and just follow.
Oh, okay. So you'll jump on next. Okay. Donna and I guess I'll let you decide what Hogan does since you're playing Hogan for now. So just for those listening, Bart is now taking over the person Hogan does.
I have properly umlauted up his name.
Oh, okay.
I'll follow along across the thing as long as no one's near the power switch.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. So all of you, Donna seems a little iffy at
first.
So
you went from a very... easygoing, carefree dude to like the most cautious person in the world.
Donna seems a little iffy at first, but eventually seeing all of the rest of you guys making your way across, she decides she also will join. And so she makes her way onto it and follows you all across. And sure enough, you get to the other side. And Dilly says, 1, 2, 3, 4. Huh. I thought there was 5. Was there 5 of you? Or am I crazy? What? I'm pretty sure I remember sending out 5 silver coins.
What? Now. Philip's not on this side with you?
No, I haven't seen him in a minute, ever since he went into the ice cream. I thought he was just trying to get an extra treat, really surround himself like he did with the soda.
Oh, when Dilly looks towards Kieran, he's just going to see him staring daggers at him. Just like,
what's your problem?
You could have told us there was an off switch. And you just stood there watching a child die.
Now Philip's probably not dead. He just got sent down to the
freezer.
Not the freezer. It's sort of just more of packaging. It splits it all up into little portions
So he's getting chopped up into a whole batch.
You're saying he went down the chute?
Yes, he went down
the chute. Oh, well.
You might want to
Let me give my scoop troop down at the processing plant a little bit of a call here, and I'll have that all sorted out. I'm sure Philip will be just fine.
Yeah,
as long as he hasn't already gone through the processing process.
You would have safeguards, right?
Well, to be fair, we don't have anybody coming into the safety factory aside from the scoop troop, and they are.
So this isn't OSHA approved at all?
Oh, well, we don't really have any people here, so not much really needs to be OSHA approved.
Oh, so the bloop bloop aren't people?
Oh, no, they are aliens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't get to, okay,
fair. Legal protections do not apply to them, which is great for me.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
Fair question.
Making mobile moves.
Do you pay them?
They live off of the ice cream.
Pay. That is shrewd business practicing
I said, the same rules that apply to you and me don't
my
apply to them.
My parents pay me with Cracker Barrel vouchers.
Oh, well, good on them.
Do you want one?
No, I'm all right.
Wait, so you're just giving away your pay as well at this point?
I'm happy to do it if it increases the family business.
Wonderful.
I don't think you
What's the next
money?
Room?
Yeah,
sir?
You guys are going to love the next room. All right, come with me. And he leads you in, and you guys are now standing. Once again, you look below you, and it's quite a steep drop off. But below you this time, instead of just never-ending darkness, you see what looks like some sort of a liquid substance at the bottom of this, call it a cavern or crevice or whatever the case. It's a fairly deep cave. You see, leading straight out in front of you, a track that seems to have all kinds of cool like ups and downs and almost like a roller coaster track in a sense. And he says, sitting at the start of this track, you see a variety of little, what look like kind of go-karts. Each one of them, of course, kind of styled like some sort of ice cream sandwiches or something like that. So they sit on the start of the track, and under each one of them, they have sort of two ropes that hang down on either side and hanging all the way down to the bottom of where the liquid starts, and they have spoons at the end, like these big like mixing spoons. And so as the cart were to drive down the track, the spoon gets kind of dragged through the liquid below and mixes it essentially. And he says, this right here is what I call the Rocky Road. These are the go-karts for the Rocky Road. And as you can see, hanging off the end of them is spoons, giant mixing spoons, which helps us create our famous milk stir, which is a sort of milkshake drink that they produce. He said, I was inspired to make the milk stir when I was watching James Bond, you know, the 007 agent. Philip would have known. Whatever the case, he always used to say he liked his drinks shaken and not stirred. And I thought, well, why not stirred? And so I decided to make my own drink that was exclusively stirred. And that's where we got the milk stir from. And it works out pretty good. I think people really like it. Whatever the case, feel free to hop in whichever cart you prefer. And we're going to just make our way to the next side. It's a little bit of a fun game for you guys. Kind of a competition to see who can get there first.
Are there at least like guardrails so that nobody dies this time?
Absolutely not. Because
okay,
the skin troop are very capable drivers. And they're normally the ones to do this.
Is there
One with a scoop troop in it?
There is not.
Is there one that looks like a forklift?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you described to me a forklift that's made out of what looks like ice cream components.
Wafer forks?
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like it's constructed out of like wafer and chocolate, and the forks themselves are like wafers.
Wafers, nice.
Thinner, thinner, like mint wafers.
Okay.
So they're at least distinguishable.
Yeah.
And he's going to pull out his wallet and just be like, pull out his forklift certification. Yeah, I got it at work, and I'm like, it's the only car I know how to drive, so.
All right. Well, if you know how to drive it better than anyone here, I say have at it.
He's going to just get in the forklift.
Nice. Like,
he doesn't know how to drive it better than anyone here. I'm an expert video game streamer, and I play Rocket League a lot. I'm getting in these go-karts and lighting this up.
Says Hogan Dose.
Who sounds suspiciously similar to Philip, but is very much a different person.
Very different person. That's right.
Different person entirely, actually.
Describe to me
that's the first full sentence you said.
Describe to me the cart that Hogan decides to pick.
The one that looks the fastest.
Okay, it's like a real sleek... kind of looks like it's just carved out of a popsicle, basically. And it's got, instead of a spoiler, it's like popsicle sticks.
Unless there's a Duck Fudger theme car. That would be totally...
Of course there's a Duck Fudger.
Well, then that's the one I'm driving.
You walk up to the really sleek looking one and you're like, and then you see the Duck Fudger cart and it catches your eye. And there's nothing in you that can stop you. Since it is your temptation, your weakness, you immediately rush over and hop into the cart that mimics your favorite ice cream. Awesome. All right, Julian, which cart are you leaning towards?
Is there a tugboat?
Sure. Describe to me what a tugboat... Oh, it's like a banana split.
Yeah.
Two big old bananas on the side.
What would it be sticking out the top? Like a cone, upside down cone.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's the fun. Top with the little... Yeah.
The wheels are like Manila wafers or something.
Yes. Oh, that's great.
And he hops in. And he's like, oh, I've always wanted to be a captain.
Yeah. And you nestle yourself into, it looks like whipped cream, but it's kind of a seat that just kind of has like an indent in it.
Yeah, and then he sees next to the vanilla wafer top, he sees like a string,
mm-hmm.
like a handle, and he pulls it, and it makes like a...
Nice. I love it. I love it.
Oh, this is awesome.
Awesome. And then, of course, last but not least, you have Donna. There's one that is called... So one of the famous products that Dilly Dunkers company makes is called ice cream cupcakes, with the idea that ice cream cakes are great and everybody loves them, mm-hmm. for the most part, but it's a whole cake and that's a lot for one person to eat. So he individually packages ice cream cupcakes, which are a much more manageable thing. And of course, being the very decorated person that she is, she decides to take the most decorated looking cart, which looks like one of their ice cream cupcakes. And as you guys are kind of like getting all situated and putting your seatbelts on and starting up your carts, he says, oh, I put a little bit of a fun spin on things. There's some cool like little pickups that you can pick up along the way. You'll see what they're like. Anyway, see you at the end. And he disappears.
I do not like that ominous.
And as you guys are sitting there with your carts revving away, above you there's a little like traffic light and it goes.
Bum, bum.
Start revving now.
And then green, and then you guys go shooting off. Hogan, I'm gonna say that you're probably leading the way since you did mention the classic start revving at yellow.
Who burns out?
Yeah.
I don't start.
You don't start.
I have no idea how to drive this thing, so I'm currently looking around to find a go button. Okay. There's not a go
seeing,
button.
Seeing him, like, because he just art, seeing him, like, I'm going to angle myself and lift up his car with the forks and just turn back and start going on the track.
Just driving him along.
I've lifted him up and I'm just taking him along with me like,
nice.
I'm not letting anybody else die this time.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm gonna honk back.
All right, sounds good. So you guys are all riding off down the track, and as you guys start to maybe, you know, not too far in, you guys see a series of crates that are sitting there along the, just kind of right in the middle of the track. You guys can just drive right through, and you see Donna drives right through one of them. I don't know if Hogan decides to as well.
Yes, I'm quite rebellious. I absolutely will.
All right, boom. You smash
through. Pedal a little metal.
Absolutely. As you smash through, all of a sudden something lands in your lap. Somebody give me a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a D6. Sitting in your lap,
we're the co-op team.
Yeah.
I throw, he drives.
This is Mario Kart Double Dash. That's right.
Sitting in your lap, you find just a chocolate ice cream cone, but it seems to be just fused together to itself, and it has quite a bit of weight to it. And you wonder if maybe you could throw it at something, or whatever the case, it's in your possession. So just something to keep in mind in case you want to do anything with it. Jumping over to, I guess, both of you.
Honestly. Yeah, I have him sideways, so it's like taking up a majority of the track too.
Yeah. You guys come up to the crates as well. And honestly, I'm going to say that both of you kind of have to smash through the crates because you're like two cars
wide. Oh, yeah, that's the plan. Take as many as you can.
And I'm going to say that you actually probably knock two of the crates. And one of them lands to land in Julian's lap. One of them lands in Kieran's lap. The one in Julian's lap is...
if it's just ice cream based, I'm eating it.
It is.
Okay, well.
I guess technically.
Snack on the go, I guess.
So you, a giant cherry, like a maraschino?
Maraschino, yeah.
Yeah, a giant maraschino cherry lands in your lap. It's like about the size of like two open palms.
Oh.
Like it's a big, well, that sounds a little crazy. Let's jump back. It's about the size of like if you had your fist clenched. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's still massive.
Big. Oh, yeah, it's a big cherry, yeah. Big
cherry.
So that's in your lap. Dilly Dunkers all of a sudden comes flying down. He's on like a little like... marshmallow fluff cloud. And he says,
just so you guys know, the carts all run on chocolate syrup, but one of those cherries can actually give your vehicle a nice little burst of speed
as he like floats away. Kieran, you have a a banana split just kind of falls into your lap, and on top of the banana split is just the banana peel itself, just kind of sits atop it. And so that's what you guys have as you guys are shooting down. Is anyone doing anything crazy, or are you just following the track as it goes?
While we're following the track, I'm gonna see him have this cherry. Swap with me. And as I'm driving, I'm like, come on.
Just drop my cherry down to him.
Okay.
Can I inspect my chocolate cone? Does it appear to imbue some sort of special ability, or is it just a snack?
It could be just a snack, although when you try to lick it, it is, or bite it, or whatever the case, it's like almost rock solid. It is like frozen solid, and it is just a hefty chunk of something that you could probably throw.
Instantly chuck it at those two.
You just like,
I want to win.
Yeah. All right, sounds good.
I am gonna throw up the banana split to him.
Okay.
As I'm still driving with that now cherry in my lap, throw the banana peel when I say so.
Okay.
And I'm gonna, wherever the fuel port is, I guess, gonna frickin' slam the cherry into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. All right, so just as you're doing this.
I do wanna say.
Yes.
I'm incredibly clumsy.
Oh, he just
threw
a
banana peel at me.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
you make a very
him.
Good point. So, grit.
Okay. A six.
You miss it, and it drops right back down into your lap. So now you have the cherry and the banana split.
As we are going.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, just before. Just before. As you're going to like do this, all of a sudden falls back into your lap. And then as that's happening, you're tossing this frozen solid ice cream cone thing behind you. Oh, I should have made it like one of those big like ice cream shells.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a little obvious.
Yeah. Maybe too much. Anyways, you're throwing it behind you. Are you aiming for these two specifically? Like you look out, like it's got like a rear mirror and you see them.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are a bigger target.
We are a bigger target.
Yeah, a very big target. That is a very good point.
It's a forklift. Of course it's a big target.
Well, I saw what happened to Philip, and one less of them increases my chances of getting the factory.
That's a very fair point.
No.
You see, this is another
I really wasn't wrong when I said it was a total character switch.
Wow, it really was.
It's going to get dark now. Awesome. I'm going to have... I'm going to call this a fight situation. So I'm going to have you roll a fight, and then you guys are basically rolling against him.
Would it be fight or flight?
For him?
No,
for you guys.
I guess it'd be how do you respond to it? Do you like counter it, or do you?
I'm gonna leave that open to you guys. How are you guys dodging?
I have no.
Especially since you're like, I was gonna say you don't.
It wouldn't be us counter attacking. It would be us trying to dodge.
Well, you could throw technically if the game this is based off of. I won't say it, but you can throw bananas at objects to destroy it.
You are right. We could.
So that would be the fight.
That would be the fight.
Yep, and then flight would be probably
just dodge it.
So yeah. I'm gonna leave that up to you guys.
We should go for dodging because we have a speed boost, right?
There is no we.
Yeah, it's just
you're right. I'm dragging you along just because I'm protecting
just,
him.
I'm just cheering you on. I'm like, you got this, Kieran. Woo!
I'm protecting him. So any attack that I'm dodging would also be protecting him in the dodge as well.
Sure.
Would that bring the +3 of the protective strength into play?
Does one of you have that?
I have it.
Oh, you have it.
Wait, there's a... There's extra stuff
in this game.
There's actually stuff in this game, yeah.
So basically, your strengths, depending on what your strength is. Now, yours was wealthy, but I don't know what you picked for this.
Rebellious.
Rebellious.
We're all rebellious.
And then you should have
We're all rebellious.
Yeah.
Oh, unassuming.
Unassuming. Uh-huh. So, for instance, unassuming says you can spend 2 adversity tokens to not be seen within reason. You can basically kind of disappear or hide. I don't know what yours is.
Rebellious and easygoing.
Easygoing. Also,
I don't even know what rebellious is.
Sorry, rebellious is add +3 to rolls when persuading or resisting persuasion from children or adults.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And then what was your other?
Easygoing.
Easygoing. So easygoing is gain 2 adversity tokens when you fail instead of 1, which actually...
How many you should have that six right now.
Wow. Look at that.
Fair point. And then what was yours?
Protective.
Protective, which as you said, add +2 rolls when defending one of your friends. So yeah, I would say this probably applies.
Yeah, so we are going to go with a flight then.
Okay, sounds good.
That would be a 10.
10. All right, and then total?
13. Then.
13 total. Okay, perfect. All right, Bart with Hogan. You got an 11? All right.
Oh.
So... It's a narrow dodge. It's a narrow dodge. You guys ever so slightly careen out of the way just as this chunk of ice cream cone comes flying towards you from Hogan. Oh, yes. Yeah. And then you get one of those. Thank you.
It's a careening forklift. That's probably a first.
Yeah.
Whoa, you really
it's
are.
It's not the safest. All right,
you really are forklift certified.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm going to see the ice cream. I'm just going to be like moving into reverse.
He's drifting around it.
All right, so you are jamming the cherry into the gas port
or whatever. Yep. And then
you guys get a burst of speed that shoots you up towards the front. Just as you guys are heading towards the front, you look over and you see Donna. And she is she's kind of coming up alongside of Hogan. And she says, "Hey, Hogan, take this." And she hurls her, she also has one of those same ice cream cone things towards you.
She's gonna miss and hit us.
I'm gonna try to catch it.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna have probably just a fight or brawn, whichever one you would prefer.
Fight.
Fight, all right, sounds good.
Yeah, he's got the D20 on the...
Holy
cow. 16 of 20.
16, yeah. So she throws it over towards you, and with one hand on the wheel and the other hand in the air, you catch it straight out of the air, and now you have a fresh new cone in your possession.
I think that's cool, and I start cheering, and I'm pulling the horn. I'm like, woohoo! Wow!
As you guys are shooting towards it. All right, so as that happens...
Are they still behind me or in front of
me
by now?
Right now, they start shooting up past you.
Oh.
Is it too late to throw it at them?
No.
Then I will.
All right, sounds good. All right, so you guys shoot past him. You guys are taking the lead, but as you guys are coming up past him, he takes this very same cone that he just caught. He hurls it towards you guys.
So while I'm cheering and pulling the horn, you hear me go, uh-oh.
What are you guys doing?
Cone coming up behind.
Wait, have we passed him yet? Or
yes, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to toss the banana out.
You toss the banana. All right, sounds good. Interesting. This is going to be a two-way attack. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you rolling the fight to throw the ice cream towards them, and then you guys are, I don't know if you guys are doing it.
Probably just going to dodge.
9 of 20.
9.
Yeah, that's a 1 of 6.
That's a 1. All right.
But I am going to use, if you allow, my adversity tokens.
Okay, sounds
good.
Can
I use only 1 or 2?
You can use as many as you want as long as you have them.
I'm going to use 2. That'll give me... I don't know if you'll see protective as this throw, but...
Sure.
So it's either a 3 or it's a 6.
All right, sounds good.
For the ice cream throw.
So yeah. Usually when it comes down to like combat situations, what happens is, so a lot of times if it's NPC based, so you're fighting against an NPC, it's about narrative control, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're fighting against an NPC and you are failing your defensive rolls or failing to attack, I'm taking control as the DM. In this case, it kind of becomes a two-sided street for narrative control, right? Yeah. So he's attacking you guys are dodging, you guys are failing to dodge, but you're minimizing the amount that you're failing to dodge, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially what's gonna happen is, because yours wasn't so significantly because you used some of your adversity tokens, yeah. Bart's gonna describe what it is that happens as he hits you guys with the attack, and it just isn't something that's like a major catastrophe.
That ruined all my plans.
he wanted major catastrophe.
Yeah. He wanted to kill two people.
Well, so, I mean, it
two
can
for
be,
one special. Julian
dislodged, not necessarily.
That's possible.
Not necessarily out of the race, but fall off the forklift.
Yeah, I'd say that's 100% possible. I like that.
So do I need to make a roll?
Sure. Yeah, make a. I don't know. What are you trying to do exactly? Are you trying to like get going or just not fall off the edge?
We got hit.
Yeah. So okay,
I
let me tell
I'm
you what
I'm
going to
more likely to fall because he's strapped into the center of a forklift.
Yes, I am. Right.
So I'm going to lean towards the dirt.
And I also didn't buckle up.
No, that's fair.
It's a boat. There's not seatbelts in boats.
So I'll describe what happens. So essentially what happens is Hogan has this ice cream cone in his hand. He hurls it at the forklift. It hits one of the... What was the word you used to describe the
forks?
Yeah, the forks.
The wafers.
The wafer forks, yep. Oh. And it shatters it, and then you start to kind of lean off and fall onto... Oh, well, yeah. You can write it down. It's up to you. It shatters and allows you to kind of go onto the track. You're not careening off the edge of anything, but you are just kind of right in the middle of the track, and you're just at a stop, basically. So
I fell off.
Not off the track.
No, I fell off the forklift.
Yes.
Oh, great.
The forklift kind of continues on after you. One of the forks is...
So they're all just taking off, and yeah. I'm back to where I was originally, not knowing how to start this
thing.
So
let's give you a brain roll then.
That's the one thing I don't got.
Oh, okay.
Two.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're not figuring this out at all.
Here a little while.
You're going to be here.
I am looking for a button. The idea of pedals...
Yeah.
Don't even cross my mind.
Okay.
And they're all gone.
They're driving off. They just continue on.
I'm just loading up.
I mean, feasibly, you could just walk.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Okay. Don't short sell me short. I'll figure it out. I'm a smart guy.
Hey, no worries.
There's a reason I've got a 5% win rate.
Oh yeah. Checkers.
That I rig.
That's right. Awesome. So as you guys continue on, there's another set of crates. You guys go, I assume probably now that you know that there's power-ups inside, you intentionally slam into them.
I'm gonna try to like hit two at once if I can.
You're gonna drift it a little
bit? Yeah, drift it with the forks.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I guess I'll do it like that.
Okay, because there's probably one, usually... Let's say there's four. So there's four available. You're trying to Tokyo Drift and hit two of them.
Yeah.
What should we roll for that?
Is it on a straight section of the track or are we still on a curve?
I'd say it's probably on a straight section.
Okay, then I will do this.
Okay, sounds good. What would you like to roll for that? I would say flight, as weird as it sounds, but that kind of just feels like dexterity.
Yeah, that is a dex save.
Okay, sounds good. Go for it.
Use the power of family.
That's right.
Six.
It's all about family.
You try to slam into two of them. Instead, you only hit one, and you kind of lose like a little bit of ground.
Am I currently backwards right now?
No, you're not fully backwards, but you just...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Your opponents manage to kind of gain up on you a bit and kind of not fully speed ahead. They're maybe just like a couple inches ahead.
What did I get, by the way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got an ice cream cone. Frozen cone.
Immediately, I want to throw behind me.
Behind you?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the lead.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm in the
lead. Yeah, because you're ever so slightly at the lead. Are you aiming for anyone in particular? Because I'd say there's one on either side of you. Okay.
There's one really far behind, too.
Yeah, I know. I know about that one.
Hogan, are you also, I'm assuming, hitting one of these crates?
As many as possible.
As many as possible. Do you want to try to like drift it as well and try to hit more than one?
Sure.
Okay, go for a flight roll.
Nine of okay. 10.
All right. Yeah, you managed to shatter two of the boxes, but unfortunately only one of them actually lands in your lap. The other one just kind of falls onto the ground behind you. The one in your lap. Ooh, interesting. One, two, three, four. All right. Oh, okay. In your lap, there is a small cube with a very fragile exterior. And as you shake it a little bit, or as it kind of, you know, shakes as it's sitting in your lap and the cart is bumping on the ground, you can see that there's a very sticky looking liquid inside. Possibly something that could cause, it kind of looks like one of those caramel cubes, except there's something inside of it. So something to possibly use. Whatever the case, let's see what happened to the one that fell. Oh, it was a banana split that fell on the ground. There you go. You left an obstacle behind. Look at that. And then, of course, Donna, she's going to ride through, and she's going to slam into one of them as well, and she gets something that you guys will find out
here
shortly.
Does she dodge the...
Yeah, oh, yeah. She was on the other side.
Okay.
Yeah. That one's just left behind for Julie. whatever the case, so it sounds like you, Kieran, are going to hurl a ice cream cone over at Hogan. So
yeah,
roll
not forgetting what he did.
Yeah, roll a fight, and then Hogan, how are you? What are you gonna do about it as it comes careening?
Two of six.
We'll dodge it.
Okay, go for a flight again.
You had one.
Oh yeah, three of
one of ten.
Oh no.
Three.
All right. Well, so yours is going to hit for sure. Explain to me, are you aiming for anything in particular, or what's the situation here?
As the cone just lands in my lap, I'm gonna see out of the rear view, like the vertical ones that are a little bit out farther that forklifts usually have.
Yeah.
See him coming up. Just know I'm on a straight. Turn around. Just
throw it as hard as you can back there.
Throw it from the base of the cone. Mm-hmm. I'm holding it, just gonna launch it as hard as I can.
Okay, sounds good.
At him. Not his car, at him.
Okay, all right, sounds good. You feel as this cone comes flying through, hits you in the shoulder, you start to lose control a little bit. Roll me a grit check to see if you manage to maintain control. Oh.
I'm about to lose my second character.
Did you already get one of these before?
One of 12.
No, it just spins out.
The herd has to be thinned somehow.
Okay, here's what happens.
Hogan really wanted someone to go next. He didn't expect it to be him.
I did start it.
You did start it.
As you get hit in the shoulder, you start to lose control of your vehicle, and you get one tire off the edge of the track, and you start to like kind of careen a little bit towards the edge. What are you doing? Let me ask you that.
Well, the last treat that I caught, the caramel filled cube.
Yeah.
I'm terribly afraid that I'm gonna get hungry, so I'm gonna start eating it.
Okay.
Because I am fear starvation.
So it kind of has like a hardened exterior that you're able to kind of break through, and it just kind of shatters, and then inside you find this very sticky caramel substance.
Does it taste good?
Yeah, if you like caramel.
Yeah, let's start drinking that.
Okay, as you're hanging
attempt
on
to recover it. From going off the road.
All right.
With one hand.
So what are you doing exactly to try to like get back onto the track with one hand?
I don't lean and counter steer.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. Unless you want to make an argument for something else.
Seems like it's brains.
Yeah, I was thinking brains. Exactly. A four.
Four of six.
Okay. I would say, yeah, sure. You're able to get yourself back on the track. But as you kind of start to move forward, you feel like a bump. Bump, bump, that's like bump. A continuous bump. And you realize you may have broken the axle or some part of what holds the tire, and you start to fall quite a bit behind. But you got some tasty caramel with you.
Julian in the back goes, "Hey, Mr. Dunker."
And he floats down on his little his little marshmallow puff, and he says, "Yeah, what do you need, bud?
How do I start this thing?"
Oh, all right. You see that thing where there's a key hanging out of it?
Oh, I thought that was decoration.
Well, the little piece that hangs off the key is definitely decoration for sure. Why don't you give that a little twist for me?
Okay, I do that.
All right, and then all of a sudden the engine comes alive.
Oh.
He says,
oh.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Do you need help from this point?
How do I make it move?
All right, so you got the steering wheel there.
Yeah, this thing.
And that allows you to turn.
Okay.
If you twist
so
it right.
I start turning it and then yeah. I feel the wheels.
You feel the
oh.
wheels. All right, good.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and then you got two pedals down there.
Okay.
You got a gas pedal.
Okay.
That makes you go forward.
Okay.
And then you got a brake pedal.
Okay.
And that makes you stop.
Got it.
That's the whole
I can
gist
do
of it.
That.
All right, good luck, little buddy.
Okay, and I'm going to push down on both pedals.
Okay, and you just hear... But you don't move. You're just burning your...
Yeah. I'm going to start, like, my brain's going to start, like, trying to figure out what's happening, but it's just, like, all gummed up and it's clogged and I have no idea what's going on. So I'm just going to release and then I'm just going to try both feet again and release. And then I'm going to finally try one foot.
All right.
I'm going to roll to see which foot
yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Are you rolling brain?
Yeah. Okay. Even is, no, even's just... Oh, well, it wasn't the gas, it was the brake.
Was
so
it,
I'm going.
Whoa,
like,
whoa, oh.
I was rolling to see which foot I'm trying. Oh, okay. Oh, that didn't work. Then he finally tries the gas, and it just like he floors it, and it just lurches forward full speed, and he stops it. And then he just slowly, like the SpongeBob joke where his like toe comes out of his shoe and he pushes the gas just slightly. He's gonna push the gas just slightly and he's gonna be driving like granny speed. But regardless, going granny speed, he is slowly gaining on Hogan and his broken car.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
My pretzel axle is broken.
Yes, pretzel, yes, yes. It doesn't take you too long before
I
you
do,
catch up to Hogan.
I do pull a victorious toot toot.
You approach Hogan. What are you doing?
Oh,
you see him
Hogan.
Like, broken down.
Your car looks busted.
Like yours is still moving. It's just moving really slowly as it's like ba-bum, ba-bum.
You're kind of I'm ashamed that this boat just caught up to you going up. 2 miles per hour.
Are we on a classic NASCAR oval or on some Grand Prix-esque pathway?
Kind of more of a Grand Prix-esque.
So there's
kind
no,
of
there's
like,
no, road.
It's
there's no
like
driving
road.
Around to a new
right,
car.
Right. Okay.
No.
So, I mean, you guys are like right next
I'm
to
gonna,
each other.
I'm
going to
stop.
Away.
I'm going to push the other one I discover is the brake.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to push it. I'm going to say, hop in.
Yeah, I'll get in.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
You clearly know how to drive these things more than me. You take the wheel.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Well,
and as
I'll man the horn. And I step back and I pull the horn. I go,
and as Hogan jumps into the front seat, you quickly and adeptly slam on that gas pedal and shoot
Whoa!
Down the road.
This thing's got some kick.
I like how you accurately describe like every kid at like 14 when they first sit into the driver's seat of a car.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's the most awkward thing ever.
No idea what's going on.
Awesome. All right. So you guys shoot ahead and I'm going to say there's probably one more set of crates left. You and Donna are pretty much neck and neck, mm-hmm. Kieran. And you see that those crates up ahead. She's looking at those crates up ahead. You guys are looking both pretty intense to get to them. And all of a sudden, just as you guys are approaching them, she turns. You see her let go of her steering wheel entirely. It's a straight shot to these barrels. Or crates, and she turns and she's got like a water gun, and she's pumping it real fast.
Do I see her let go?
Yeah,
I'm gonna steer into her.
Oh, all right. So you're gonna roll.
Just gonna see.
yeah. No, I like it. You're gonna roll an attack.
Sorry.
No.
What
no,
I'm going to do is slow down a little bit as that happens.
Oh, you're gonna do
and
the
use
thing?
The fork.
Oh.
And I'm gonna try to jam it under her, and I'm gonna come back under her car and start lifting her car up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Do a fight.
Yeah. That'd be a two.
A two. All right. You go to steer towards her, and instead she turns and she starts to spray you with what comes out as chocolate syrup.
Mm.
And it splashes over you and you're unable to like make contact with her. You're all sticky now. You're kind of gross, covered in chocolate in an ooey gooey mess.
Oh, that's good. Driving half blind.
Yeah, I was gonna...
That's good.
You're able to stay on the track, but whatever the case, roll me a grit to see if you can still manage to hit one of the crates as it's coming towards you.
That would be a 5.
A 5.
All right. Out of 8, yeah.
Out of an 8, yeah. I would say... Yeah, I'd say you managed to get one of the crates. It's not a difficult check. Okay, what lands in your lap is another one of those caramel cubes.
Okay.
And you have that on hand with you, but Donna has definitely taken the lead. The other two of you, you guys come by. She obviously, of course, gets a crate as well. Ooh, fun. You guys come up to the crates as well. There's two more left. You guys are going pretty fast. I assume you're going to hit one, probably.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, let's get you guys something. One. You guys get one of the banana splits. Lands in your lap.
What is this? You're the gunner.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Julian rubs his hands together.
You guys are still quite a ways from the other two. Whatever the case, as you you can see the finish line off in the distance, Donna looks back at you, and she just raises her hand, and in it is one of the cherries, and she just slams that into her gas and shoots forward off into the distance. Is there anything you want to do?
I'm just going to keep driving.
All right, sounds good. Anything specific you guys are going to do?
I've done the banana on my head.
Oh, okay.
And I say, that's Captain Julian to you, Hogan.
Awesome. And after a couple of minutes, you guys managed to reach the finish line. Donna coming in first, not too far behind her. Kieran coming in second. And then the other two of you coming in a shared third. And Dilly Dunkers is standing there, and he says, wow, that was quite a race. I hope you guys had some fun, as he steps off his little marshmallow puff cloud. Anyways, on to the next room. And as you guys are going into the next room, and as we close this thing out, that'll be the end of episode 2. Be sure to check out episode 3 coming soon. Just keep an eye on our social media, and you'll find out when that is.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Dilly Dunkers Ice Cream Satisfactory, a Kids on Bike one-shot campaign created by me, Skylar, and inspired by Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, written by Roald Dahl. The Kids on Bike system was created by Evil Hat Productions. If you enjoyed our show, be sure to check out our others from Session Zero Heroes, such as our ongoing Benders and Brews show set in the world of Avatar The Last Airbender and using the Avatar Legends system. Or our ongoing Dungeons & Dragons series, Criminals of Isla Numis. We also do a variety of one-shots using various other TTRPG systems, such as our Monster of the Week, Hunter's Haven series. We're growing and releasing new episodes bi-weekly, so you'll see all sorts of systems and themes in use as we move forward. So be sure to follow, like, and subscribe to our show so you don't miss out on any of our future content. Additionally, it would mean so much to us if you take the time to drop us a review, as it always helps our show continue to grow and get noticed by others out there. Your review might even be read on an episode of our show. Of course, if you're looking to keep up to date on our show and our various other endeavors, you can do so by following us on social media, whether that be Facebook, X, Instagram, or Discord, the links of which are in the episode description. And again, we hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join us again next time. So stay curious, stay heroic, until we roll again.